What was that, Phil?
Nothing.
You're back 1 week and you're a heckler already? It's good to see you, Phil. It's good to, when I was sitting and I was just trying to gather my thoughts and calm my soul a little bit before the service, and I heard this voice and I thought, that's the voice of Phil. I haven't seen him in what feels like 15 years. I'm sure it's not that long, but it feels like a long time. So it's really great to see you in person and to have you here with us. And I thank you for the opportunity to be here today to minister to you in this way. All these things flow from really two other things, and that is that I really, really love the people here. And I hope you sense that even when I stumble and bumble and make a mistake and can't find my way. And I really love the Lord. So with those two things in mind, I'd like to gather us, to get our thoughts together around the Word of God for a little while. This morning on your bulletin, you have a reference to a Bible verse that I really love, Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. And you might recognize that as a call. So as I looked at that this week, and as I was studying it, and as I was thinking about it, the Lord kept bringing me back to the Psalms. And I'm like, Lord, come on, I want to deal with this. But I just kept coming back to the Psalms. And so we're going to shift gears a little bit. And we're going to move to Psalm chapter 25. And we're going to talk about something that I'm really not too good at, but that is very pertinent in our times. And that is waiting. And as I move through the week and as I receive various prayer requests and things like that, this idea or this concept of waiting just kept coming back to me. Because I thought about Phil and Marilyn, and we've been praying for them for quite a long time and waiting. I thought about Beth. We've been praying for her for quite a long time and waiting. I thought about Marjorie and Madeline, some of the other folks that are shut in, and we've been praying for them for a long time and waiting. And I look around the room, I could go on and on and on with lots of other names. If I haven't mentioned you, it's not because I don't love you. But this waiting thing seems to be kind of what we're going through right now. It seems like a lot of things, you know. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday who lives in New Jersey, and he was saying how long he has to wait to get the vaccine. And I was saying, well, I'm signed up, but I'm an older guy anyway. And it seems like much of our life has this waiting component. And so that's what I'd like to talk to you about today. What I hope to bring to you is something a little bit more devotional, a little bit more something that you can apply to your heart and apply to your life. And perhaps it will help you make some sense of the world that we live in as God touches your life and as He touches mine. So with that in mind, let's have a word of prayer together. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your superintendence in our lives. Thank you for all that you do for all of us and for SBF together. I pray that you would be with us this morning, that as we open the Word of God, that you would speak to us, that we would hear from you, that we would hear words that would encourage us and strengthen us. We live in a very odd time right now between coronavirus and the other things that are going on in our world. We pray that you would continue to strengthen our spirits, continue to strengthen our hope, continue to keep our eyes focused upon you. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Psalms. We thank you for that which they bring to us. And we pray that as we look at Psalm 25 this morning and touch on a few others, that you would superintend our thoughts and that your Holy Spirit would minister. We pray not only for those that are gathered here, but those that are gathered on Zoom. And we ask that you would suit a blessing to each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Appreciated the opportunity a few weeks ago to speak to you. I wasn't particularly crazy about the way it came. I don't like that it came on the heels of pastor's family being threatened with coronavirus. That's very unpleasant. But the upside is that I got to send a copy of the sermon out to my daughter, Kendra, who is both my largest critic and greatest encourager. And maybe right after Ruth Ellen on the greatest encourager part. I don't want you to lose your status, honey. Kendra was watching, and Kendra and I share a couple of characteristics. One is that we both get migraines. I'm thankful that that period of my life seems to have gone by, and I don't get them anymore. She's still in the middle of it, and that's just dreadful. But the other thing that we share that she mentioned to me is that when we pray out loud, we tend to get a little choked up sometimes. And so Kendra noticed that when she was watching the video of 3 weeks ago. And she said, "Yeah, Dad, you passed that on to me too." She said, "To the point where when I'm in meeting, they don't even ask me to pray anymore because the pauses are too loud or too long." And I said, "Well, that's interesting, Kendra. It's interesting that you, of all the things you could get, that you got that." But I appreciate her and what God has done in her life and continues to do in her life and all of my daughters and the way they encourage me. So let's open to Psalm chapter 25, if we would, if you haven't already. And let's look at the first few verses together. "To thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in thee I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for thee will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed." So let's just pause there for just a moment and just look at what's going on. This is a prayer of petition. This is David coming to God, approaching him with his concerns and with his heart. And David expresses these things as his words of faith, his words in verse 3, none who wait will be put to shame. So he's saying, "Lord, strengthen my heart that I understand that none of those who wait for you will be ashamed." He's asking God to remind him that God does deliver on his promises, that God is a faithful God. And before we come a little bit judgmental toward this phrase, waiting can be hard. Extended illnesses can be hard. Extended times of hardship, hence the name hardship, can be very difficult. They can wear pretty strong on our soul, okay? So I've had times in my life. I had a time when my mom was in a nursing home. She was in a nursing home for 44 months. It's just short of 4 years. They were hard times on my heart. They were hard times of kind of waiting, and it felt like in a certain way I was being torn apart, because I obviously wanted my mom to do well and to improve and to become stronger, yet I knew intellectually that was probably a pretty distant hope. Those are hard times of waiting like that. And so we ask God to strengthen us, and we ask God to minister to our spirit, but it still remains difficult. And you all have times like that too. It might not be the health of a loved one. It might be waiting for a job. It might be the prayers for a loved one, one of your children, things like that. And that waiting can be a long time. It can be years. And the psalmist here is just saying, remind me, Lord, that those who wait will not be ashamed. My waiting's not in vain. You have something. You have some plan in this. You have some purpose in this waiting. And it's important that you and I remind ourselves of that. Phil, I imagine these months have been difficult on the patient's muscles, haven't they? Yeah, of course. And we have those times. We have those times. Some of you I speak to before and after the service, and you have chronic illnesses that go on and on and on, and that waiting can be very difficult. Others have relationship concerns that go on and on and on. And if you don't have that, maybe you're like me. I mentioned Kendra to you. I haven't seen Kendra in more than a year face to face. That stinks. That's my daughter. And I can remember when I was younger having a conversation with somebody who said to me that they hadn't seen their parents, somebody that I cared for, hadn't seen their parents in 2 years. And their parents, and they lived in the United States. I mean, it wasn't like their parents were missionaries to, you know, Zaire or someplace. And I remember thinking when that statement was made to me, I hope I never go years without seeing one of my kids. Going so long without seeing Kendra face to face, that's a waiting that I don't like. So the psalmist is saying, don't let me believe that my waiting is in vain. The psalmist also says that he knows that he'll receive an answer. So go on with me to verse 4. Make me know, Lord, thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. For thee I wait all day. Remember, O Lord, thy compassion and thy loving kindness, for they have been from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to thy loving kindness, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. So in this little section, the Lord is encouraging us by repeating back to the Lord his own principles, his own scriptures, his own promises. And that's something that I would encourage you to do in your prayers, is to find promises of God and repeat them back to him. Use them in your prayers as statements of faith. Bring these statements of faith to the Lord. We've become a little bit maybe commercialized in our prayers, and we think that our prayers are an opportunity to just sort of dump out our complaints. Lord, I'm tired of this, or I'm tired of wearing a mask, and believe me, I'm tired of wearing a mask, or I'm tired of the news being false, or whatever it is that is your heart's cry. I would encourage you to find statements of faith within the Word of God and bring them back to the Lord. So what might these statements sound like? Well, here it sounds like, Lord, I know you will answer. Because he's been waiting. So we bring a petition to the Lord and we say, Lord, thank you. I know that you're a God who answers prayers. I know you promise to hear your children. I know you're good. I know you're here. Do you ever forget that? So we talk about a God that's omnipresent. Do you ever forget that he's here? I do. Like, especially in the places I don't like. I'm notorious for not liking Walmart. And like, it's hard for me to envision, like, Lord, you're here. I have way too good a sense of humor to say anything more, but we don't envision him there, do we? I don't. I envision him here, but maybe you and I would be better off reminding ourselves that he is here. Okay. And so when we stand with a friend who's in distress, remind yourself he is here. When we stand with a friend who's rejoicing, remind yourself he is here. When you're on your call with your daughter who you don't get to see as often as you'd like, remind yourself that he is here. When you can't see the people you want to see because the hospital won't let you in, remind yourself that he is there. And in your prayers, thank him and remind him that he is there. Thank you, Lord, because I know even though I can't be with whoever, I know you are there. I thank you for that. Your prayers should, you should allow your prayers to reflect what you know of God's nature and his character. So I'm deeply affected by those that are homeless, but I have no clue what to do. And so my prayers sound like, Lord, I know you care for people. All kinds of people, even folks that I have a hard time understanding or relating to. Lord, give me a heart like your heart. The thing I love about the Psalms is that it helps my heart begin to sound like God's heart. That's what I really want, right? Okay. And the other thing I wanted to bring into your thoughts was when we were together 3 weeks ago and didn't expect to be, one of the things we talked about was casting. Remember, we talked about casting our cares upon him, and we tried to say what that meant. And we said that that was awkward and difficult, and it made pictures in our minds of smelly, fishy nets. Anybody remember that? Yeah, of course. Okay. Well, on the other side of casting is waiting. Because that's what we do. We cast and we wait. And sometimes God in his choices and in his grace and in his mercy and in his just wonderful way that he does things, sometimes those prayers are answered in a moment. And that's really wonderful. But sometimes those prayers are answered in weeks or months or years. Or sometimes maybe we don't see the answer to those prayers on this side until we go on to heaven. And so our waiting is something that's important that we... that understanding waiting is something that's important to our lives. The other thing that comes up here in verses 4 through 7 is... in verse 7 it says, "Do not remember the sins of my youth, my transgressions. According to thy loving kindness, remember thou me, O Lord." What happens sometimes when our prayers take some time to be answered? Well, sometimes we find ourselves reaching backward to things that God has already closed the accounts on and bring them back up. And that's the work of the enemy. If you've already asked for forgiveness for something, and God, and we know God forgives us when we ask, then those things are closed accounts. But I want you to understand that that's the way that sometimes the enemy and ourselves work against us. Okay? My wife and I, and I don't say this with any critical spirit toward my wife, because she's a spiritual giant in my mind. But my wife and I were having discussion in prayer several years ago, and she said, "I wish I knew what we messed up that God is causing this difficulty." I think a lot of us are tempted to think that way. If you've closed that account with forgiveness, if you've asked God for forgiveness for that, then that account's closed. It's done. Okay? And don't let it come and haunt you again. And by the way, the inside out of that lesson is, if you haven't closed that account with forgiveness, it's available to you, right? So let's not forget that, and let's not let the accusations of our enemy stand between ourselves and our relationship with the Lord. Let's continue, verses 8 through 10. "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies." And so, when we respond in faith, this is what God does, okay? He leads us, he instructs us, he brings us along. He's gracious to the humble. I like that. Humility is not maybe something that Americans are best at. Yet the Word of God teaches us over and over again that humility is one of the characteristics that we should have. If we go on to verse 11, it says this: "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." And you can kind of sense here that the tension inside of David is pretty large. Okay, he talks about my iniquity is great, the weight of my iniquity is great. Now let's continue. "Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. His soul will abide in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant. Mine eyes are continually toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net." kind of like that last phrase, he will pluck my feet out of the net. The only time I've ever been around a net was when we were doing like high school craziness things, and you know, you do these games that are a little bit wacky. But if you've ever been snared in a net, it's kind of a weird feeling. It's not something you easily get out of. Right? In fact, it feels like the more you struggle against the net, the more that it seems to be winning the battle sometimes. I love the imagery of God plucking our feet out of the net. It's our opportunity to declare back to God our expressions of truth, our expressions of the way we feel, but not making the feelings bigger than that which the Lord does for us. Lord, you're good. Lord, you're merciful. Lord, your delight is to show mercy. Lord, hear the cries of the discouraged. You understand how these are the heart cries of our lives? And so then in verse 16, David sort of turns back to his plea. And he says, turn to me and be gracious to me. For I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my trouble, and forgive me my sins. Look upon my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with a violent hatred. Guard my soul and deliver me. Do not let me be ashamed, for I take refuge in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for thee, O Lord. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all of its troubles. And so in verse 16, David sort of turns back to this this voice of a plea for God's help. I like verse 20 because it sounds like a prayer that you may have heard from me. I often ask God to guard several things. My own heart, my own tongue. I ask God to guard SBF. I ask God to guard Pastor Valerian. I ask God to guard the integrity of our doctrine. I ask God to stand guard on these things. Guard my family. Guard my grandchildren. Guard the health of my daughters and my wife. Guard my own health in these times. And we have to be careful, because as we ask God to guard our emotion, our soul, we're asking God to guard those sides of our life that are our intellect, our emotion, and our will, places that we can really be attacked. Okay. I've only had daughters. I don't have any sons. I have a couple of really great sons-in-law, but I've only had daughters. And daughters have this sort of, especially when they're teenagers, warning to the Martins, they have this sort of the world is about to end thing that comes up. And sometimes whatever the world is going to end for seems very disproportional to the ending. Let me give you an example. I have a pimple and the world is going to end. Well, probably not, but they get this emotional wrap. I can't go out with this blemish on my face. And we kind of laugh at that, but you and I can get in that vein. We can get emotionally wrapped around things, and suddenly we become dysfunctional. I had a word that I created for our youngest daughter, and the word was axolaceous. And axolaceous was the act of letting yourself get wound around the axle of something. Like when you were a kid and you had one of those cars with a friction motor, and it would go over a piece of string, and a piece of string would get wound around the axle. And all of a sudden you had a problem because the car wouldn't function and the string wouldn't function. And that's what axolaceous meant between my daughter Beth and I. It meant you're getting wound around the axle of this issue, and you're letting it affect your relationship with others and with the Lord. I bet you some of you do that too. I bet you I even do it sometimes. There are places you can poke me. Don't try after the service. But there are places you can poke me that are, they're like trigger spots. I don't like to be poked there. Okay? And so it's really important that we guard ourselves against those attacks on our soul that are things like discouragement and hopelessness. And those hopelessnesses that almost make you feel paralyzed to do something going forward. And that can be a way that we're attacked while we're waiting for the Lord. Because something in our mind goes, it's been months and it hasn't changed. It's been years and it hasn't changed. It's been, you fill in the blank. Or it's been months and it's gotten worse. Right? It can be quite difficult. Last week, we spent some time away from here, not because we don't love you, we love you very much, but we wanted to visit with somebody who is a friend that also is a pastor, and I wanted to be there to encourage him, and I had originally scheduled to do that the week that Pastor Valerian's son was exposed to COVID, so I couldn't do it then, so we did it last week. And he brought a message from Psalm chapter 10, and he brought these four points that I thought were, that apply here, and I thought they were really, really good. Let me just share them with you. He said, when we come to God, we should come to God with a humble spirit. I like that. Second, when we complain to God, our complaint should be biblical and honest. Biblical and honest. And sometimes our complaints are self-generated and maybe even dishonest. And by that I mean exaggerated or, okay. Our petitions to God should demonstrate a hopeful spirit. In other words, God, you're paying attention and you'll act on these things. That's what a hopeful spirit is. And last, that when we bring things to God, we should have a spirit of openness. Because you and I are still in process too, right? Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah. Where'd that come from? Way up there. Thank you. God bless you, Sandy. Thank you for the work you do up there, as well as your wife and anybody else. Is somebody else up there? No? Okay. Thank you very much. But the last thing I wanted to, the point about, that I wanted to make about waiting on the Lord is exactly the nature of the waiting. Because waiting, there's different kinds of waiting. There's waiting like sort of sarcastic waiting, like I'm waiting for my next stimulus check. Or a variation on that, I'm waiting for a politician to tell the truth. Or, you know, it's that sarcastic, you're not really waiting for anything. You're just making sort of a sarcastic statement of something that's far off. That's not the waiting that I'm talking about. The waiting I'm talking about is a genuine expectancy. Okay? So for all of us, if we go turn the clock back 3 or 4 or 5 years, as a group, we were waiting for God to provide a new pastor. We had a genuine expectancy that God was going to provide. We couldn't identify him. As we went through a process, we could, but we couldn't identify him. But we had a genuine expectancy and waiting in anticipation that God would answer that prayer. And your waiting and my waiting on the Lord should include a genuine expectancy that God will answer our prayer. Because we're his children. And that's what he does in our lives. Our knowledge of God's character and goodness should motivate us to wait patiently for the Lord's answer. It can be quite difficult, can't it? But our wait has a purpose. I want to take you one other place, and then time's getting on, and my daughter Kendra that I was talking to you about, listened to my sermon, reminded me that I droned on for an hour, and I don't want to find myself doing that today. But I want to go to Psalm 69 for just a moment. And I'd like you to look at verse 3. And one of the things I really, and this came out a couple weeks ago too, one of the things I really like about David is that David is not afraid to be transparent with his human side. And when we were together a couple of weeks ago, we said, you know, David had done the Goliath thing. That was a big, big deal. And now he's struggling when we get over to Psalm 51. He's struggling with betrayal. And it would seem like if you could beat Goliath, you could probably beat betrayal. But life is kind of like this sometimes. It has its victories and it has its lows. It has its strong days and it has its weak days. W-E-A-K days. Okay? And I want you to look at this expression in Psalms chapter 69 and verse 3. I am weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes fall while I was waiting for my God. David is reminding us that waiting is difficult. And that gives you and I think, an opportunity to be part of what God wants us to be with one another. It gives us an opportunity to come alongside one another. Not in judgment, by saying, well, you know, if you were, the Lord loved you, he would have solved that by now. Not saying that. But to come alongside with a word of encouragement. A word of encouragement that might also include, you know, even David struggled with this. Sometimes our words of encouragement don't have to be words of solution. They can just be words of understanding. I too have been in very difficult times. I remember the difficulty of fill in. I was speaking to Victoria this morning before we started, and she said that her children were having night terrors. I'm so old, we used to call those bad dreams. And that's a very troubling thing for a parent. And it can be a really hard thing to kind of get a grasp, because in the child's head, that's really real. That's really happening. And taking those moments and offering that embrace and those words of encouragement and those words of calm, they're really valuable things. And so let me ask you this, when we get next to one another, do we offer words of encouragement and words of calm? Words from the Word of God? I hope we do. I hope we're able to do that. I know sometimes our humanness gets in the way, and, but I hope we can be to one another the kind of, offer the kinds of patterns of love and kindness and encouragement. Encouragement is not always solving the problem for somebody. Encouragement can be, I'm here with you. As I get older, my friends, they're getting older too. Probably ought to put that in a song. Many of them, well, let me change that. Some of them have cognitive challenges now. That's really hard for me. It's really hard. Because I remember these guys as vital and strong and in roles as elders and deacons, and seeing them decline this way, it's really difficult. But my commitment is that I'll be with them. I can't cure them. And maybe someday I won't even be recognized by them. But I can be with them. And so I want to encourage you, in these times when people are in this place, when they seem distant, perhaps because of their waiting on God in some way, I want to encourage you to find ways to be with them. Now, we're in COVID time, so being with people is more challenging than ever. But you can be with them with a note. You can be with them with a phone call. You can find ways to be present with them. Find those ways. I'm very fortunate. I serve in a small group along with Lucille. And Lucille she should have a PhD in finding ways to reach to people. She just finds ways. I love that. I could learn a lot from Lucille on that. So let you and I be those kinds of people that find ways to encourage others when they're in this time of waiting for God's purposes. Those are the thoughts I have for you today. I hope they encourage your heart. I hope they bring you closer to God, and I hope they bring you closer to one another.